Hey guys, Tom Laird, voice of advice from a call center geek, CEO at Expedia. Hey, the podcast is brought to you by Expedia Interaction Marketing. We are a 600-seat call center outsourcer. I would love to talk to any of you looking to outsource any of your customer support or your sales functions, looking for political calling or just some extra overflow during the holiday season. If you are looking for any type of USA outsourcing support, hit me up. You guys know my LinkedIn. I'd love to talk.
This is Advice from a Call Center Geek, a weekly podcast with a focus on all things call center. We'll cover it all from call center operations, hiring, culture, technology, and education. We're here to give you actionable items to improve the quality of yours and your customers' experience. This is an evolving industry with creative minds and ambitious people like this guy. Not only is his passion call center operations, but he's our host. He's the CEO of Expedia Interaction Marketing Group and the call center geek himself, Tom Laird.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Advice from a Call Center Geek, the Call Center Contact Center podcast. We try to give you some actionable items to take back in your contact center, improve the overall quality, improve the agent experience, hopefully improve your customer experience as well. My name is Tom Laird. I'm the CEO here at Expedia Interaction Marketing. Expedia is a 600-seat call center outsourcer located here in northwestern Pennsylvania. How's everybody doing? I'm excited about this episode. I do this about once a year, and it's about this time of year, spring, kind of getting into early summer, where I start to put all my thoughts on for some of the talks and some of the things that I'm going to present at some of the conferences that I will be at and some of the user groups and those kind of things. And I kind of end up mashing this stuff all together. Some you guys have heard me talk about this stuff before, some you have not. So this kind of started with, probably about 4 or 5 years ago. It was pre-COVID. You know, as most of you guys know, I do coach high school basketball and I would go to clinics. Hubie Brown, I always loved Hubie Brown, one of the greatest clinicians, I guess, of all time. Right. And he got so good and so big and so confident with himself that he would basically just say, hey, listen, I'm not going to talk on offense. I'm not going to talk on defense. I'm going to talk about anything that I want to talk about. Every single thing that he did in these like 5 to 7 minute segments, he would add a ton of value. And I always got something really cool from it. So I want to do that for you guys today. I want to give you about 10, I guess, tips. Some are based on technology that maybe you've heard me talk about before. Maybe you have not. Some are some things that, you know, we are doing in our contact center to help with attrition, to help with agent efficiency, those kind of things. So want to kind of just throw everything at you here with some things that I think can add value. The first thing, and I'm going to share my screen here or kind of bring this thing up. And again, I'm live on LinkedIn. LinkedIn, you guys see me and I'm going to be able to post this stuff. TikTok, you guys just see me. You don't see my screen. But if you have any clients, I'm just reading a question there. Any questions, you know, please on either front, hit me up and I'll try to answer them as best as I possibly can. Okay, let's start with this. I want to show you guys this because I just did a post on this and I think it's pretty cool here. Let me bring this up. Okay, so and hopefully you guys can kind of see this. I have been doing some videos on occupancy lately and talking through, you know, how efficiencies should really work. And, you know, every time that I talk about occupancy or I talk about those efficiencies, it does get, you know, a lot of comments on LinkedIn on some of those posts. So the really cool thing is I just had a colleague. And again, I know this is kind of maybe foggy on here. Maybe I don't know if I can make it any bigger. Full screen layout. Maybe I'll just put it in front of me. Yeah, there you go. Let me talk this through. Is talking about not burning our agents out. Talking about what is the proper efficiency levels. I'll just show this real fast. Basically, what this says is they were running in January, February, March, April, May, June, they were running their contact center at extremely high levels of occupancy, meaning their agents were in working states 90 to 95, sometimes higher than that percent of the hour, which means 52, 53, 55, 57 minutes out of every single hour they were working, right? Which is that efficiency level is unsustainable. It's too high. You could maybe do it for very short increments, but not even for a day, right? Or you're gonna burn people out. They charted their attrition and their attrition was much, much higher. Once December happened of this year, December, January, February, March, April, I'm sure they didn't really get too deep into it, but you know, adding agents, looking at some after call work things, looking at how they're scheduling, right? They lowered their occupancy to 75% out of the hour, which I think is where things should be, right? That means your agents are talking or in a working state about 40 to 45 minutes out of the hour. They have 15 minutes where they can kind of, you know, through that hour to kind of catch their breath. Their attrition rates almost fell through the floor, right? So some for two of these increments, they didn't lose anybody. Their lowest level at 2% attrition, right, was numbers that they really have not seen on average at all, right? Was some of them peaking at 5, which is more than double that during those high occupancy times. So there is an absolute 100% correlation, not just from this, but everything that I have seen, correlation between lowering your occupancy, keeping it at a certain level, having your agents not be burned out. I think that this is a really, really important thing to take in because number one, I don't think a lot of you are doing this on purpose, but a lot of you are not tracking what your occupancy is. A lot of you are just, you know, saying, okay, you know, we're just going to go take calls. When you have to be able to monitor this, you have to be able to use it as one of your core stats, right? Because not only does it show how efficient you are, but it shows, you know, how hard you're working your agents as well. So I think that was a really cool stat, something really cool that I definitely wanted to share. And I think a good way to kind of kick this thing off. So that's the first thing that I wanted to talk about. The second thing is I want to get into, you know, again, some of these analytic things that I've been talking about. Let me pull up my notes here. So the second thing is I want to talk a little bit about culture. I'm not going to get deep into it. I've done full episodes on how to kind of develop the culture of your contact center, how to actually define it, then how to incent, how to hire, how to do all these things with it, right? But I want to talk about the incent piece right here. And again, using analytics. You need, if you have any type of analytic tool that you are using in your contact center, you have to brainstorm some awesome ways to use it, right? Don't just use it for customer sentiment, agent sentiment, and trending keywords, right? And maybe some frustration things, right? But think about some really cool use cases or some things that you want answered in your center. Remember, this isn't just analytics to tell you what customers are saying, what your agents are saying. This is analytics to help you make your contact center better. One of the best ways that I think you can do that is by incenting customer service agents off of sentiment. Taking positive sentiment, those agents that are, you know, 80% plus, and that's kind of what I've seen. Now, we're using NICE CXone's interaction analytics. I like to say, you know, anything above 80% is a positive sentiment is kind of where we're at because, again, not everything is perfect with it. So we want over 80%, less than 5% negative, right? Over 80% positive, less than 9% negative. And if we have agents that do that and we look and we have a large swath of our agents that are doing that, we want to incent them and pay them more. Before, again, only your cross-sell, upsell, QA, those type of hardcore metrics, right, we were incenting agents on. Now, right, with analytics, we can take a step back and say, wow, we can do some things to prove that our agents are speaking the right way, are talking the right way. And if they are, and they're handling our customers the right way, then we should pay them more. So I think that's a really cool and unique way to incent your customers. The other thing, speaking on this analytic deal, is one of the things that we've seen now is there's a little bit of an economic upheaval. I don't want to call it a full downturn yet. I haven't really seen it, but you know, there's some rumblings that are going on with inflation and some of these. There's some just a little bit of uncertainty out there. So we've seen a lot of our clients trying to try to buckle down. And one of the ways that I think, again, using analytics, that you can go to your higher ups, you can maybe save money, save headcount. If your contact center is in that, like, hey, we have to lower headcount, right? We have to lower costs, one of those things. How do you do that the right way without just saying, all right, we're going to get rid of Janie, Susie, and Jimmy, right? And one of the way, and also ticking customers off, right? And one of the ways that we found is to leverage analytics, right, to find out what is the threshold for how long your customers will wait on hold before they start going negative, right? So you can track that. Right. In any analytics platform, you can see and use a metric like average hold time, right, or time in queue, depending on what platform you're using, and then do different segments of time in queue, and then correlate that with what their customer sentiment score is. So we have found, and again, I just was talking to a client, and I would like to do, you know, and even on our BPO with all the different channels that we're using, from retail to tech support to healthcare, to financial services, to almost benchmark in our small little niche, you know, what each of these kind of customer segments, how long they'll wait. Because we have found that hospitality, sometimes healthcare, sometimes retail, they will wait longer than that 80% service level, that 80-30, right? 80% of the calls answered within 30 seconds or less. So I can go, if I have a customer that says, Tom, I have to lower headcount, what do you recommend, right? I go to analytics and we say, you know what? Your customer base doesn't need an 80-30. They'll wait for a minute 14 seconds. So what we'll do is we'll say, okay, now if we do a minute 14, then I can take this agent, move them off your program here, or maybe move them off the service portion and put them onto the sales portion that has a rough service level as well, right? We can make good business decisions with analytics that can help the client or the customer or your internal contact center save money. It can put agents where they're supposed to be or where they can have the most value. And obviously, you know, try to create an ROI or a less expensive kind of place, right, for your contact center to operate in, which I think is a really cool thing. If you can become more efficient, if you can get reps where they're supposed to be, if you can make customers happy and you can save money all doing that, right, that's a win-win-win for everybody. So I think that's, again, a really cool and unique thing to kind of start to think about. All right. One of the other things from an attrition standpoint that we've done, and I've done a full podcast on this. So if you're looking for lowering your attrition, trying to keep your agents, you know, one of the things that we've done, we've lowered our attrition by about 18%, utilizing what we call our effort multiplier, right? So we're actually paying our agents, right, just to come to work, right? So they get their base rate, never lose their base rate. And then every week that they're working their entire shift now, and again, there's some things that they can, you know, it's not just like if you're gone for 2 minutes that you're going to get go back to your base rate, but you get a bonus rate for every week that you're working your entire shift, right? And I think that's been a win-win, right? Again, because, you know, we have a ton of agents that are working, you know, all of their hours. They get rewarded every single week with that, right? So some of these guys are earning, you know, $3 to $4 more of their base rate. And I'll tell you, you know, our base rates are in that $14, $15, $16 an hour range. So, you know, that's right around where we are. So, you know, you can get to a pretty sustainable or good rate, especially for Erie, Pennsylvania, and work from home. Another way. So think about that, right? If you want your agents to be at work, if you want them to be there, then incent them to do that. Now we can say, well, they should be there anyway. Right. But there's so many things that can come up. And how do you differentiate your job from a job that maybe they could get somewhere else, right? And this is, I think, a really cool way that it's a win-win for a BPO. The more that the agent is here, the more that we can bill. If they're not here, I can't bill for them, right? Plus, now they're getting an incentive to be here. They don't have to do better. They don't have to, you know, have better QA scores. Their sentiment score can be in the tank, whatever. This is just for them to for us to kind of reward that effort thing. So I think that's another kind of cool piece. Again, getting back to AI, getting back to analytics, one of the main things that we have been doing lately is through integrations, and we're trying to integrate with any client that has anything, right? So obviously the easy one, the Salesforce, the Zohos, the Zendesk, we can fully integrate with, we can do cool things with. You have a proprietary CRM, right? If you have any type of CCaaS platform, you know, the Five9s, the Genesis, the UJets, the CXones, any of those things, and I'm missing like 100 of them, right? All of these guys can integrate fully with any proprietary system through some simple APIs. I highly recommend that you do that. And the reason to do that is because you can now route your calls off of data, right? So we're no longer just calls are coming in, the next available agent gets that call. But we can segment our customer groups, right? Maybe high-end, high-value customers, customers that need our help instantly. Any way that we want to segment these guys, making sure that they're going to the right agent. And maybe this agent's dealt with only, or this customer's only dealt with one agent, right? And we can go look and see what agent that is and route them to that call. We can look and see, again, do screen pops. So if we're working for financial advisors, like this is a good example, we're working for 1,000 different financial advisors. When a customer calls in, either by their Annie or something that they're giving in the IVR, we can actually pull that record and we can say, hey, thank you for calling Jim Smith's office. Right. So all of those kind of things that you can start to really use your imagination on how to improve the customer experience, you know, for very inexpensive routing ways, right? Just some APIs and just some thought process in how you want to do that. So again, I think that's a really easy way, again, to improve the customer experience, reduce wait times for high-end customers. If you have any type of customers that are super, super in need, they can go right to the head of the line, right? We don't have to play this game with where the longest available agent gets the call or the person who's been waiting in queue the longest gets the call either. A ton of different things that we can play with that. One of the most underutilized tools, and most of the CCaaS platforms have this. If you're on CXone, it's called WFI, Workforce Intelligence. But all of them have some type of tool that does this. And again, I would tell you, dig deep into your platform. There's so many things that you're not utilizing. There's so many things you're not doing, especially if you have a cloud provider. You know, so I see so many when I consult, so many, you know, kind of prem-based companies move to the cloud and use their CCaaS platform exactly how they did when they had a prem-based, right? You have so many more tools. The world is kind of is opened up to you if you really learn how to use it. One of them is WFI, right? And again, all platforms have some type of tool that's like this. So from a very, what does it do from a very simple standpoint, right? Just maybe some emails get sent if service levels aren't where they need to be. If a rep goes, you know, too high on an average handle time, if a QA scores at a certain number, you know, a manager, a supervisor, a C-level, me, whoever can get an email to kind of notify us and say, hey, service levels at 79% just dropped from 80, just giving you a heads up if you're not looking right at that dash. That's one simple, easy way with this. The cool piece of this, though, is using AI, and this is using AI technology to using predicted wait times and predicted service levels to bring agents into skills with different priorities or preferences before that episode actually happens, right? So for example, let's say that we have a client or a customer service skill that can drop to 70%, but of course our sales skill can't drop below 80%. So right now we're doing fine on our customer service skill, but you know the system sees that there's 7 people in the IVR that are about to come to the sales queue, right? And it's at a, you know, 81% right now. And if all 7 of those calls come, this thing's going to drop below 80%. So what this will do is instantly move agents from here, bring them over to our sales skill, right? Be able to handle that peak of calls that are about to come. Right. And then let's say, good, we go back up to 83%, then it'll move them back instantly back to here. So there's so many different use cases that you can do with a workforce intelligence from moving agents in automatically to almost quote unquote, I can guarantee a service level. If you have brand new agents and you say, hey, listen, if Janie, Susie, and Jimmy go over 7 minutes of handle time because the average is 550, then we're going to lower their preferences, right, from a 1 to a 3. Right, so they don't take as many calls. So it's maybe it won't tank my entire service level for that day or my average handle time that I got to show to a client or to the higher ups. Really cool tool that everybody has that nobody utilizes that you need to learn about because it's there. And ask your account rep. Make sure you get taught about this. It's been a life changer for us, especially when we have a client that has 4 or 5 different types of skills. And wants things to be kind of level loaded, or they want one to have a huge preference over the other. We want to do that without tanking these other things. It's really easy if you want to just hold one kind of high and you keep that 80%, but then you can't crush the other skills as well. So again, another tip that I have for you there. Here are 4 agent engagement tips, employee engagement tips that I have for you. Number one is one of my favorites, and it's evolved now to us using monday.com with it, right? But we had a clear dry erase board in one of the offices here that we ended up not really utilizing. So we made that kind of our culture or suggestion board. So as you guys know, if you've been listening to the podcast at all, we have a culture of attitude and effort. So we're incenting, we're promoting, we're hiring off of attitude and effort. So any suggestion that came in, and any agent or any employee could just go in there anonymously and write on the board and just give a suggestion of what they'd like to see, you know, in the contact center, in the company, anything that they wanted to say, they could say. But with the one caveat that it had to improve or be a part of the culture of attitude and effort, right? Kind of instilling those. So it was now we're using Monday.com, right? To just kind of have one of those kind of brainstorm boards. And everybody can kind of go in there and put what they would like or suggestions, kind of like a suggestion box, but with a little bit of a caveat. What we do then as well is we try to at least, I say once a month, it probably has turned into once a quarter, right? We'll as a group vote on one of these suggestions and then get a committee together to try to go implement, whether we need IT to do it, whether we need, you know, just HR to do it, whether it's the floor agents, whoever needs to do that. We try to kind of go instill, and then we give a little bit of a bonus for anybody whose suggestion that was, if they want to come forward, because sometimes people don't want to come forward because they think it was stupid or was a little bit aggressive. All right. You've heard me talk about these, but I think it's really important. Call center leadership groups, right? And call center committees, right? So if you're going to change your headset, you better talk to your agents first. Do not just think that because a headset is more expensive and quote unquote more comfortable that they are going to like it. There's so many things that go into the headset, from, you know, how do you deal with certain hairstyles, right? Does the strap that goes over your head, is it in the front? Is it in the back? Can it move a little bit, right? There's so much that goes into it. And again, the experts in this are the call center agents, right? They're the best. They deal with it every day. Make sure that you're talking to them. New computers, any type of UI, UX that you're doing for any of the platforms or any of their screens. If you're going to change the size of their screen, right, you better have these conversations with these guys. When everybody was in the office, and we still have some that are here, but changing the chair, right? Is the chair more comfortable? Is it uncomfortable? Again, is it functional? Again, make sure that you're asking your agents. And that's a pretty cool thing to have a game committee, to have an equipment committee, to have a contact center, user experience committee. All of those types of things, I think, can instill some engagement and really help the agents and the management team kind of form a bond. Love to do focus groups and have kind of middle management summits where we talk a lot about technology, the platform that we're using. Right? The best people on the platform are the people that are utilizing it and using it every single day. I use it, and I'm great at the dashboards, right? Looking and getting data, right? But they are great at, you know, using the actual interface to make calls, the APIs that we have connected, the VPNs that are there, right? They're utilizing all of this different technology. And our supervisors have a lot of tips and workarounds and things to make things go easier. And so when you have this kind of summit where you can kind of all talk together, you can get a lot of things out and get spread kind of the knowledge of everybody through your whole organization and on your entire middle management team. I think that's cool. You know, talking about how they handle situations, right? Again, we want to be able to have HR kind of benchmark how to deal with certain things. But again, you can't be perfect with that. So many things come up in a contact center environment or even from a work from home environment that there's no book for. So it's talking through some of those things of how do we want to, you know, deal with some of these things that may come up with an agent, may come up with a computer or the process of working through a day. Right. And making sure that we're all kind of all on the same page with that. And then again, just kind of getting the lay of the land. Hey, is anything kind of going on? Is there any clicks that are happening? Who's been talking about who? Kind of just kind of feel it out. Because again, when you're dealing with a lot of people, and I think it's gotten better, that kind of stuff, because it's all work from home, but you got to still monitor those Slack channels. So I think that's a couple things to engage really quickly, your contact center agents. All right, you guys have heard me talk about this a little bit, but using ChatGPT to help with a lot of the things that maybe took a little bit longer in your contact center. For us, when we have a new client, whether it's a retail client, financial services client, yes, there are some basic things that we can do, but every client is a little bit different with what they find important when it comes to analytics, right? So we want to be able to build out a full, robust analytic platform for every single client. If you have analytics, you need to do this as well in your contact center. So not just utilizing those kind of baked in things where, you know, it's agent approval, agent nice, agent negative, agent pot, like those kind of things are and those keywords are important, but to get specific to, you know, a toy company, right? And talking about those specific things of how the things are built, how are logistics, are things getting there on time, right? Using all those keywords and phrases, building it out. ChatGPT has been the number one thing that we've been utilizing to build out our analytics. So I have a prompt here. Right. Here's for example, but and we're telling ChatGPT, you are an analyst for a contact center that specializes in creating and deciphering trending keywords, sentiment, and frustration analysis for the XYZ toy company. Your job is to improve the overall customer experience while digging deep into customer journey and looking at the marketing and bottom line insights and improvements. You utilize now for us at CX1, you could be using observe.ai, you could be using anything, level AI. All right. You utilize the NICE CX1 interaction analytics platform. What are the categories, subcategories, keywords, and phrases that we need to implement to track? And literally within 5 seconds, it's spitting everything out that we can just go copy and paste into our platform. It's crazy how quick that has made things and how easy that has gone with using ChatGPT. So any of those kind of old school ways that you had to kind of maybe think some things through, you know, utilize that. And then maybe have some secondary prompts where you're saying, okay, well, I want to focus more on the sales or marketing. Can you give me more prompts, more keywords for that? Or, you know, I want my CSAT and my NPS to be high with my sentiment. What are some things I can track and keywords I can track to make sure that is on point? Really cool stuff. You know, the other thing I would tell you too is I know like on our ExpediaUSA.com, on our website, we have an Erlang C calculator that you can utilize for your staffing, right? If you're just using a spreadsheet, I would ask ChatGPT, and I have a post on it from before, ChatGPT-4, to create you an Erlang C calculator. You know, give how many calls that you have coming in at each interval, what your average channel time, give it all of that stuff, and it will just spit out what your staffing should be. You can think that through and how many different ways to forecast, how many different ways to get your staffing, get all that stuff done, I think is a really cool use case again for ChatGPT. But I love it for building on analytics, things that took us maybe 3 or 4 days to have meetings and kind of think things through, have conversations with the client. But we can at least have the baseline build out done now, you know, before we go and talk to anybody. I just want to talk to you about, again, if you have any CCaaS platform, please understand that, first of all, I think omnichannel, I just did a little thing on this. If you're thinking about going omnichannel, and let's talk about that for a second. And again, remember, this is just 10 unique things there's no order here. I'm just kind of totally spitballing some cool things that I think can help you, right? So to be multi-channel means that you basically are just that, you're multi-channel, right? Voice, email, chat, SMS, digital, any, all of those channels, you can take them all, right? But when a call comes in, right, you can only interact with that interaction, right? So if they say, hey, I'm taking a chat, but hey, can you call me? That has to be a different interaction. We have to start something over. Omnichannel just means it's the same thing. Email, voice, chat, SMS, digital, right? Call comes in. Same thing is happening, except now if they say, hey, I want to chat, then we can launch a voice call. We can keep it within that same interaction for tracking, for CRM, for all of that kind of stuff. I personally, we have omni-channel session handling. We don't really utilize it because I found that there's really no need for it. As long as I am fully multi-channel and can handle every single channel, I mean, that's 99%. There's some use cases for omni-channel, especially I think if you're more of a digital contact center, like if most of your stuff comes in chat, comes in through Facebook, that kind of stuff, it might be helpful to be able to then launch voice calls and things. But to be honest, I don't think it is. So, having said that, please realize again, if you have a CCaaS platform, it is extremely easy to add channels, right? Don't think like, oh, we're just, we have voice, and I'm petrified of chat. Chat is the easiest thing you can possibly add to your website. It is the easiest thing for an agent to consume because they're doing it every single day with their phone, right? So literally any CCaaS platform, you take a piece of code, you copy it, you paste it to your website, you have chat. Do not overthink chat. Chat is extremely easy to do, and it should be done on every single website in every single company. But getting to the digital side, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, like all of those things need to be monitored, especially if you have a larger digital, you know, preference. And don't just do it, you know, secondarily by having your account and posting directly on Facebook. Utilize that the channel, the digital first omni channel, right? Looking at making sure that anything that your customers or potential customers want to interact you with, you can have into your platform. Right? Don't get scared that you can't do this stuff, that you can't. It's super, super easy. And I would tell you, especially if you are, you know, use a broker, use me, use somebody if you're going from and looking to go purchase, you know, your first CCaaS platform, because this is the stuff that you need to have all included, all in that build out, even if you're not going to utilize it. But you got to really think that thing through so that you have an awesome platform, you know, kind of moving forward. The last thing that I want to talk about, and I don't even know if I talked about 10, I was just kind of rolling down a list, is PCI compliance. Right, one of the things that I am finding that is a huge issue, people would be relatively PCI compliant when they're in the office, but companies are not even close to PCI compliant now being out of the office. So I will tell you this, one of the very easy things as well that you can very easily do, and again, talk to your IT team, talk to your account managers, is utilizing the IVR that you have, right? You don't need any type of special software for PCI compliance. Utilizing the CXone, the Genesis, the 5.9, utilizing the IVR that you have to have customers use that as their portal to input credit card information and fill it into your data set or your CRM. It's the easiest thing ever. Customers, I think that it's very difficult. It is not difficult. And it will save your ass, right, from a standpoint of not having credit card information to be viewed, right? You could have the best agent in the world, but if their roommate walks behind you while you're reading a credit card or typing it into the screen, and whether they got a photographic memory or they got a pen with them, right, you're in trouble if they take that credit card and go do something with it. So for literally 2 hours worth of programming, and maybe an hour worth of training with your agents, you can be fully or as PCI compliant as maybe you need to be, right? With having no agent be able to hear a credit card number, have no agent be able to see a credit card number, and have it just fully fill into the screen with the last four digits. So again, that's kind of what I got for you today. That was 33 minutes of kind of fun for me. I'm super excited to kind of talk about a lot of this stuff. If you guys see me at any shows, you know, I'm going to be talking two times at the Interactions, which is the NICE CXone. I don't think they even call it CXone. It's the NICE user conference, July 5th through 7th. I'm speaking twice, one on the Expedia Digital stuff where we're doing the moderation for NFT Discord Web3 projects. Another one on this kind of topic, right, where I'm going to just go and throw 10 things at you that I think can help you, but I'm going to be a little bit more specific with CXone from a technology standpoint, and then, you know, how to help with some agent stuff as well. So, oh, that was fun. Any questions before I bail on you guys? Doug and Sean, thanks for the comments here and on LinkedIn. I know I had a couple of you guys that wanted to join me on TikTok, and I appreciate that, but I was kind of in the mid flow. If anybody wants to join me now, and has anything you'd like to say, I'm more than happy to kind of take any questions or anything that you guys may have. But if not, thank you guys. Thank you guys very much. I'm pretty fired up about this episode. Again, I love episodes that I think we've been so focused on technology and call center conferences and on AI. I am so AI'd out, and I hope you guys are. I hope you're AI'd out, but I think I know you guys are too. So, again, hopefully that this helps you and improves the contact center. I'll talk to all you guys next week.